Remember when I was a little boy, so I had probably more than once didn't have an opportunity to daven one time, and I felt a little bad about it. So I remember the next day, my father, Rav Shalom, explained to me that there's a concept of tashlumin for tefillah. If a person misses the tefillah, so by mistake, by forgot, by accident, whatever the case may be, so then you're allowed to make it up at the next tefillah. So I was so
And
excited about the
what
concept.
you just asked, we're working with the town and they would have to approve it, and there's no like
Just to choose
way.
whoever you ever can. So I remember I was so excited at the concept of Tashlumin. Of course, I wasn't familiar with the fact that Tashlumin is only a one-time deal. Let's say if a person mishachris, you can make up a mincha twice, miss mincha, make a ma'ariv twice. You can't make up Tashlumin for the last 6 months. So I remember a couple of days later, I had missed about a whole week of a tefillah. So I remember deciding, I got a few hours right now. Let's start to knock off a whole bunch of tefillahs. So I was doing one after another. That's my father explained to me that's a little bit going a little bit overboard. So the sugya of tashlum tefillah is what we call Gersa Yankas. That goes back to my youth. So I thought we would try to speak a little bit about the ramifications of this halacha. And the reason why I chose this week to talk about it, because it actually is rooted in this week's parshas. You may be wondering, this week's parsha doesn't really speak about tefillah per se, but there is a halacha in this week's parsha that really sets the tone for the entire institution, not only in terms of tashlumin and making up lost tefillos, but the very notion of tashlumin and halacha in general. The notion of tashlumin is an interesting one because in some areas of halacha, tashlumin is clearly not relevant. Let's say, for example, if a person missed shaking a lulav on Sukkot, so he doesn't have tashlumin for Hanukkah. If a person missed blowing shofar Rosh Hashanah, there's no tashlumin on Purim. So obviously there are certain mitzvahs that are given to us that at a very, very specific time, and there is no concept of tashlumin whatsoever. On the other hand, there are other mitzvahs, particularly in the realm of the Beis HaMikdash, where we do find the concept of tashlumin sometimes. There is a notion of a person was supposed to bring a korban at a certain time and couldn't get around to bringing it. So the Torah sometimes does give him a makeup date. We actually just got off of that period of tashlumin just a couple of days ago. The Yom Tov of Shavuos, the Gemara tells us, has an entire week of tashlumin. If a person didn't make it to the Beis HaMikdash on time to celebrate Aliyah LeRegel on the first day of Yom Tov, so you're allowed to come technically the entire week afterwards. So that halacha of Tashlumin has spilled over for some shuls in terms of Tachanun. We know that there are two different minhagim. There are some communities that don't say Tachanun the entire week after Shavuos because with Bancha Beis HaMikdash HaKayim, the week after Shavuos was significant in terms of Tashlumin. So the idea of Tashlumin does exist in halacha, and one of the primary examples of potential Tashlumin is a sugya that appears in this week's parasha, which again sets the stage for what we're going to speak about tonight. So if you take a look at the first set of my makomos, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, on that side of Gimel and Aleph, is talking about the institution of Pesach Sheni, which of course appears in Parshas Baaloscha. The Gemara quotes the following braisa, the Sanya. Gershon is Gaya ben Shnei Pesachim. What would it then be if a person converts between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? So clearly in Pesach Rishon, he didn't bring a Korban Pesach. He wasn't allowed to bring a Korban Pesach. A non-Jew cannot participate in Pesach Rishon. But now, when the time Yud-Dal Iyar rolls around, he's technically Jewish. So the question becomes, is such an individual obligated in Pesach Sheni? Now, our mindset of Pesach Sheni usually is the person who was supposed to bring Pesach Rishon and just couldn't get around to doing it. Either he was Tomei or he was Bederech Rechoika, he was in a far trip. But here we're talking about somebody who's different, somebody who wasn't even chayav in the first place. Or the Brisa gives another example. What if you have a child who reached the age of bar mitzvah between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? So comes the Brisa and says chayav lasos Pesach Sheni divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe's opinion was that such an individual, both the ger and the bar mitzvah boy, are obligated to offer Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Nasan Oimer. Rabbi Nassim says no, that whoever was not obligated to offer the first Pesach is not obligated to offer the second Pesach as well. So what is the machlokes? What is the point of contention? What are they arguing now? So Rabbi Sovar Sheni Rega b'fin Atzbahu. Rabbi Nassim Sovar Sheni Tashlumin deRishonu. There's a fundamental lomdish machlokes in Rabbi and Rabbi Nassim. How to understand the very passion this week's in Parshas Baaloscha. The Torah describes a person who didn't bring, group of people who didn't bring Pesach Rishon, and they're given an option bringing Pesach Sheni. So What's the nature of this obligation of Pesach Sheni? Do we understand the nature of this obligation of Pesach Sheni is basically a makeup? There's really one Pesach in Halacha. Pesach is Yud Dal, I mean, Erev Pesach. We call it Erev Pesach, but technically speaking, in Lashon HaTorah, so the word Pesach refers to Erev Pesach, refers to Yud Dal of Nisan. Chag HaMatzos refers to the week of what we call Pesach. So there's really one Chag HaPesach in Halacha, and that is Yud Dal of Nisan. Yud Dal, the first month of the year, Yud Dal Nisan, that is Pesach. Elohim. The Torah says, for the fellow who couldn't offer the Korban Pesach Rishon, we're going to give him a makeup date. We're going to give you a second chance. The second chance is called Yudalad Iyar. So the relationship between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni is a relationship of Iker Mitzvah and a Tashlumit. Is that the Pshat? Or maybe that's not the Pshat. Maybe the Pshat is that there are almost two independent days of Pesach. There's the famous Pesach, that's Pesach Rishon, and then Pesach Sheni is an independent Yontif. A person is not obligated to celebrate both of these Yom Tov. The person has a choice, so to speak. L'chadchil, everyone's supposed to celebrate the first Pesach. If for whatever reason you couldn't bring the first one, then you have an equal opportunity to offer the Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. So it's not Pesach Sheni is the makeup of Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni is an independent mitzvah of Hakrovas Korban Pesach. So therein lies the machloek between Rebbe and Rebbe Nassim. According to Rebbe, the two separate mechayivim, the two different mitzvahs, and therefore, just because the person was exempt from one doesn't mean he's exempt from the other. So let's say, for example, if a person was this guy between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so you wouldn't say, well, I didn't blow shofar Rosh Hashanah, if I don't fast in Yom Kippur. It's ridiculous. It's a different mitzvah. So too, just because you didn't bring Korban Pesach Rishon because you weren't Jewish, because you were under the age of Bar Mitzvah, that no shape or form exempts you from bringing Pesach Sheni. That's the view of Rebbe. And Rebbe Nelson said, no. Rebbe Nelson says, that Pesach Sheni is a tashlum in the Rishon. There's one mitzvah Pesach. That's Yudal Nisan. Elohat, Nebuch, for the guy who got stuck and didn't bring Pesach Rishon, so the Torah gives him a makeup date. A makeup date means for a person who had a chiyuv, there's tashlumin for an ikra chiyuv. If you weren't chayiv in the first place, what's you have to speak about tashlumin? So this machlokes is Rebbe and Rebbe Nelson is a fundamental question. Everybody agrees that tashlumin only makes sense for a pre-existing chiyuv. The machlokes is Pesach Sheni really beget a tashlumin? So we can now borrow this principle and plug it in Dilchus Tefillah. So take a look at the second of the Mamre Kamos. So the Gemara in Brachas Dav Chavava Med Aleph teaches us from Rav Mar Breid Rav Huna Breid Rav Yir Bar Avon Rav Yechon. Tov lo is pao arvis mistalo b'shach v'shtayim, shachas is pao b'mincha shtayim. Rav Yechon taught us that if a person made a mistake, he forgot, and he didn't daven ma'ariv. So he can be mispal shachris shtayim. So we can make it up the following morning by davening a double shachris. Or similarly, if a person missed shachris, he can make it up by davening two minchas. The Gemara actually raises a question in the context of that sugi in brachas, is that is there a difference between the person who missed ma'ariv making up shachris, person who goes from shachris to mincha? What about the person who goes from mincha to ma'ariv? What about the person who missed mincha? Is it feasible to make up with a double ma'ariv? Why would one think that that's different? Well, it's a big difference, because there it's already a different halachic day. The halacha tells us that the halachic day begins at night. So maybe one can argue, when is there a principle of tashlumin? That's at least if it's the same day. But if you miss mincha to make up to ma'ariv, that's already a little bit too much. So the Gemara says, no, that's also okay. The Gemara have a minute, that would be a problem. And the Gemara concludes, it's also acceptable. The fact that it's a different day, that doesn't concern us. Why doesn't it concern us? Why isn't the fact that it's a different day so radically different? So the Gemara explains to us that Hilchos Tefillah is almost walking a tightrope. We spoke a little bit about this in the past, that there are really two different dimensions of Hilchos Tefillah. There's the Korbanos aspect of Tefillah. Tefillos HaKadayim, Korbanos Tikkunim. Chazal instituted Tefillos corresponding to the times of the Korbanos. It doesn't mean that they instituted Tefillos after the Churban. And that's not what it means. They davish for Nesu, even Mizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaKayim. What it means is that just as in the Beis HaMikdash, so there are set times for offering certain Korbanos, the Korban Tamar in the morning, Korban Tamar in the afternoon, the burning of the Evam Fadarim throughout the evening, so to Chazal corresponded to that, the different Zmane had Tefillah. According to the other theme, so to speak, of Hilchos Korban, of Hilchos Tefillos, is that Tefillos is also a notion of Rachamim, that Tefillah is invoking the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you're invoking the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you're much less subject to time limitations. So again, this doesn't doesn't mean that there's no such thing as ban tefillah. That's not true. The Mishnah says beferish. The Chazal instituted very, very specific ban tefillah. But because the notion of rachamim is a component of tefillah, therefore Chazal almost stretched the limits a little bit and said that if a person misses shachris, you can make it up a little bit, even at mincha, because still a little bit more time of rachamim. So even if you went from mincha to bayah, which technically switched to a different halachic day, that would also be acceptable. So the bottom line is there definitely is a principle of tashlum and nuchas tefillah, and the principle of tashlum and nuchas tefillah should probably follow along the lines of tashlum that we find in other areas of halacha, such as, at least according to Rabbi Nassan, when it comes to the relationship between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So this is going to impact greatly as to who is eligible for a tefillah tashlumin. Tefillah tashlumin is clearly not for everybody. The Gemara actually is medayik from the Loshon. We go back to the second Rambam comments for a second. Because the end of the line, Rabbi Yochanan says, Tov lo ispal iris. So the Gemara picks up on the point that the Loshon Tov means a mistake. Tov means you didn't do it intentionally. What if a person knew that it's time for davening, it's time for shachris, and he deliberately chooses not to go to shachris? So then there's no tashlumin for that. There's no tashlumin for bezin. Ta means b'shogeg. We extend the definition of ta. We extend the definition of shogeg very, very far. Let's say a person overslept. So that's also considered to be a shogeg. A person, was planning on davening, then the last minute they forgot. There are a lot of very, very broad definition of what shogeg means. But the bottom line is it has to be within the category of shogeg in order to have tashlumin. So what would that halacha mean in the following case? What if a person didn't daven, not because he forgot to daven, not because he couldn't daven, but because he was exempt from davening? The person was actually potter from davening. What would the halacha be under those circumstances? So the chora, based on our sugya in Tzachim about Pesach Sheni, the person would not be eligible for tashlumin. That everybody agrees that tashlumin doesn't make sense for the person who was potter. Whether or not Pesach Sheni is tashlumin, not is the machlekes Rabbi Nassim Rebbe. But everyone agrees to the fundamental yisod that if something is mataras tashlumin, then it wouldn't make any sense if the person was potter. So that's exactly what it says in Shulchan Aruch, in the third of the Imam Kermis, with Shulchan Aruch in Yeridaya, in Uchaz Avelos, in Simin Shimam Aleph, talks about the following case. Misha meis lameis b'Shabbos. What if a person loses a relative on Shabbos? Now we know that when a person loses an immediate relative, he technically enters into the category of what's called being an oinein, of aninus. The phrase onein, we pointed this out in the past, is not absolutely accurate in halacha. The word onein in pure halacha actually conjures up a little bit of a different image. It means someone who lost a relative, who's not allowed to eat karbonos, and not allowed to eat ma'aseh sheni, not allowed to do avodas karbonos. There are a whole series of halachas that base a mikdash and kedusha oriented that govern a person mishabes lameis. The fact that we use the term today to describe someone who's an onein, therefore he does daven, can do mitzvahs, etc., has been brachas. Though the term owning doesn't really apply there. The real correct halachic term is misha meso mutal lefanav. Someone who's not because relative is literally in front of him, or figuratively in front of him. Someone whose relative just died. The Rav said the reason why we use the word owning is shorter, it's easier. So somehow colloquially in Yiddish, so we say the guy's an owning, he's an aninus. But it's not an absolute purely correct halachic term. But since it's been used for hundreds of years, that way we're going to continue to use it. So the bottom line is in Hilchas Aninus, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes, what's the din if a person becomes an Einin on Shabbos? So the regular halachas of Aninus actually don't really kick in on Shabbos for a very simple reason. All of the halachas of Aninus are because the person is supposed to be Isaac B'Tzarchi HaKvura. Therefore, it would be inappropriate for him to be doing mitzvahs at that point, inappropriate for him to be davening, to making brachas. There is a machlekes Rashi and Tosis in the beginning of the third pack of brachas. When we say that an onen doesn't say brachas, doesn't do mitzvahs, doesn't put a tefillin, etc., what exactly is that all about? So Rashi says that it's not that the onen is also per se to do mitzvahs, it's that the onen is potter from mitzvahs, because it's oisik b'mitzvah, potter from mitzvah. According to Rashi, it's not fundamentally different than any other person who's oisik b'mitzvah. The Mishnah says in brachas that if a person's in the middle of doing some tzarcha mitzvah, he doesn't have to say kriyishma. Or the Mishnah says in sukkah, a person is going holach by mitzvah, he doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. So that din of Isaac mitzvah, potter mitzvah, according to Rashi, is the driving force behind all of Hilchas Aninus. So Tosfos writes in Brachas that they don't think that that's right. That the reason why the Einin doesn't do mitzvahs is not just because he's Isaac mitzvah. It's much deeper, much more than that. Says Tosfos, there's a real isser to do mitzvahs. It's an isser derabbanan for an Einin to do mitzvahs, because doing mitzvahs is almost like a bizar and a mace. So here the relative died, and the person is supposed to be involved in tzarchei mace. and he's going to the Daf Yomi Shiur. He's going to catch me, going to Dam Shas, going to put on his tefillin. That's not right. That's a bizyanis to the mix. So according to Rashi, it's more of a practical thing. Because lemaisi yibim oisik in the tzorchei beis, therefore tachlish yibim mitzvah potu mitzvah. According to Taisa, it's much more than that. It's because you're supposed to be oisik in tzorchei beis and you choose not to, that gufa shows a desecration to the beis. No matter how you slice it, though, the din is it doesn't apply on Shabbos. That the Gemara says explicitly that the din of aninos don't apply on Shabbos for a very simple reason. That what are you possibly going to do? You cannot be oisik in a tzorchei kvur. Not do kvur. What are you going to do? Start throwing techrichim on Shabbos, digging a grave on Shabbos. You can't do those things. So since there's nothing for you to do at all, therefore the din of aninos are put on hold. However, as soon as Shabbos is over, once you're able to go and start working again, getting the tzorchei kvur ready, the din of aninos kick right in again. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. If somebody lost a relative on Shabbos, yoichem motzei Shabbos b'lo havdalah. So as soon as Motzei Shabbos comes, so then they're not required to make Abdullah. According to Taisus, not even allowed to hear Abdullah. Shouldn't even be listening to Abdullah. But since they're not allowed to hear Abdullah, one would have thought, oh, we know you're not allowed to eat before Abdullah. The Imam Sachem says, you're not allowed to eat before you make Abdullah, you're not allowed to drink before you make Abdullah. So I would have thought the guy's got to stay hungry until after the Kavura. So Kamash Balan, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Rishonim, that the only time you're not allowed to eat before Abdullah is if you're chayiv in Abdullah. But if you're not chayiv in Abdullah, so you're not chayiv, so finish. So there's no chiv of Abdullah. So male, there's no issur to eat before Abdullah. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that the person who became an Enin on Shabbos, Kozman, that until Shabbos, he could he does mitzvahs like regular. The minute that Shabbos is over, then he can't eat if he wants to. And he doesn't recite Abdullah, he's Paul. And he doesn't daven Ma'ariv, again, for the same reason. He's Pater from Kriyashma, Pater from Ma'ariv, etc. According to Rashi, because of Isaac from Mitzvah, according to Taisus, as it added, it said the Rabbanon, Shum Kavod Ameis. So then the Shulchan Aruch writes that after the kvur is over, then the dinner of aninus no longer apply. Then he should still daven shacharis if there's still time to daven shacharis. Let's say the kvur is very was 8 o'clock in the morning, so by the time the kvur is over, it's 9 o'clock. It's still time to daven shacharis. So in the chanami, he should talk to daven shacharis at that point. But now the question becomes: what about last night's ma'ariv? So he became an oinein. I mean, he was technically a known name, theoretically a known name in Shabbos, but that didn't register yet. So on Shabbos, he daven regular. And now, the minute when Shabbos came, he didn't daven Ma'ariv, because then the Adidas kicked in. So now the Shabbos becomes, on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, when he daven Shacharis, should he daven a second Ma'ariv as well? So one could have argued that he should daven a second Ma'ariv, because after all, he didn't daven Ma'ariv the night before. It's not that he was a Pesheya, it's not that he was an Azid. He did what he was supposed to do. He was not supposed to daven. So maybe one should argue he should have tashlumin. So Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rosh, quotes from the Rishonim, and say, no, it's not true. Tzvilas Erev lo yispal, shekvar over zman. There's no, Ma'ariv is over, and therefore there's no tashlumin. Lo domi l'shachav lo yispal, arav yispal shachar shtayim. He says that this is not the same as the person who forgot the daven Ma'ariv, like the Gemara Brachas. Kevin shebalayla lo yachayv l'spalel, because he wasn't chayv at all to daven. So how did the Shulchan Aruch, how did the Rishonim know this din? They took it right out of the Gemara Pesachim of Tzadi Gimel. They said that just as according to Rabbi Nosson, the person who was not Jewish or the person who was under the age of Bar Mitzvah when Pesach Rishon rolled around, it is not possible to talk about. It doesn't make any sense to talk about Tashlumin for someone who was exempt from the Igra Mitzvah. So too, it doesn't make any sense to talk about Tashlumin for Chos Tefillah for the fellow who was exempt from the Igra Tefillah itself. But now the Shulchan Aruch quotes a very controversial statement. The question becomes, what should this fellow do about Havdalah now? So he obviously did not make Havdalah, did not hear Havdalah the night before, because once Shabbos is over, he becomes an Onin, so he can't make Havdalah. But now, 9 o'clock in the morning, should he recite Havdalah at that point? So Shulchan Aruch writes unequivocally, yes, he just makes Havdalah, doesn't even make reference to the fact that there's a machlekes about this. So the Rosh, the third Rebbe of Brachas, actually quotes a major, major debate between the Rishonim whether the person should be making Havdalah or not be making Havdalah. What exactly is the issue? So the Rishonim explain it's based on the following. We know the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim that if a person didn't make Havdalah on Mitzvah Shabbos, one could still make up Havdalah till a certain point. How long a point can you still make Havdalah? So it's actually Machlokes in the Gemara. We pass in Shulchan Aruch until halfway through the week, until Tuesday evening. My start on Tuesday evening. So the Gemara explains that the whole week is divided into two halves. First half of the week is like the Shiraim, like the leftovers from last Shabbos. The second half of the week is the beginning introduction to the Tanakh Shabbos. So Kozman is still part of last week. It's still till Tuesday night. So one could still technically recite Havdalah. That's the reason why the Shulchan Aruch quotes an opinion that says that if a person hasn't yet been Mabes Sedra, you could still be Mabes Sedra until Tuesday night. It's Machlekes Rishonim. When the Gemara says he's supposed to be Yashlim other Parshas from a Tzibur, he's supposed to be Mabes Sedra, Shtanik Vechetargum, together with the Tzibur. So some Rishonim say together with Tzibur means the entire year. It means you have to finish by the time the Tzibur finishes for the entire year. So since that minig is, we finish, we have 1 year cycle. So we finish by Sipkus Torah. So you have to finish by Sipkus Torah. So you have 10 parshas behind in the summer, no big deal, you just catch up. That's what one opinion Shulchan Aruch says. And the other Rishonim say, no, Yolim Yashlim, other parshas, but Tzibur means that every Shabbos you should be up to par, you should be up to schedule, up to speed with the Tzibur. So what does that mean? So it means, many Rishonim say, what that means is before the Tzibur gets around to laning, you should have laned already. So by the time they finish learning Pashat Aloscha, you've already finished learning Baloscha. So there's one opinion Shulchan Aruch quotes, so it's a middle ground, that to wait all the way to Sipkus Torah is a little bit too late. On the other hand, you don't necessarily have to finish before they finish learning. You have to finish before the end of Shabbos. What's being the end of Shabbos? So for these purposes, the end of Shabbos means till Tuesday night. So there's one opinion Shulchan Aruch that says if a guy messed up, he's still being Maver Pashas Nosa. Well, it's already Wednesday night, that's a little bit too late. But if a person was still catching up the end of Nosa yesterday, so according to one opinion Shulchan Aruch, that's still technically considered to be Imat Tzibur. So that din that you're allowed to make Abdullah till Tuesday night, that's a Gemara. We pass it that way, l'halacha. What's the nature of that halacha? So there's a big machlokes of Yishayim, how to understand the lomdus of that din, that Chazal let you make Abdullah till Tuesday night. So one opinion the Yishayim is that you could really only make Abdullah until Shabbos. The takana is to make Abdullah until Shabbos. Elohim. We're going to give you a very, very big kula called Tashlumin. That the same way the fellow who missed the first day, Shavuos, he can come to the Beis HaMikdash 5 days later and bring his karbonos. Or the same way that the guy who missed Ma'ariv, Kedar Shachris twice, the guy who missed Abdullah B'tzai Shabbos, we'll give you a Tashlumin. To when? Until Tuesday night. Past that, that's ready too late. Even Tashlumin is Shavu B'davar. Tashlumin is not forever. Pesach Sheni is only Pesach Sheni. There's no Pesach Shlishi. The guy can't come Yudal Tzivan and bring a Korban Pesach. It's ready. Even for him, that's a little bit too late. Or it's a Yichus Tefillah. Like we said at the beginning of the year, you can't make up 6 months ago. I forgot the Dam Shachar, the Dam Minchit, now twice. So even Tashlumin has a certain Gvul Ladover. So to Abiyah, Chazal said the Gvul is Tuesday night. But basically, in Lomdus, it's Betaris Tashlumin. And the other opinion of Yisham says, no, it's not Betaris Tashlumin. The din is you have to recite Abdullah B'tzai Shabbos. First make B'tzai Shabbos. So it's a Shabbos for the purposes of Abdullah means for the first half of the week. Till Tuesday night is still called. You can still wish you got good vach on Tuesday. Till Tuesday Shkia. It's still considered to be Shirayim, the end of last Shabbos. I remember the Shiva Kaviyav, the Rogobos at Sal, used to tell us that every once in a while, like on Tuesday afternoon, he would see a bachar, walking outside the Beis Medrash with a knapsack, with carrying a suit or something for Shabbos. So he would go up to the bachur and would ask him, "Slicha, ata chozer b'shabbat shavra, ata kvar b'shabbat haba." Say, "Are you still coming back? It's Tuesday afternoon. You're still coming back from last Shabbos. You already went foot out the door to the bus on the way to next Shabbos." So in halacha, there is a certain degree of maybe in Talmud Torah that's not such a good model, but in halacha, there's a certain degree of truth to that. That until Tuesday Shkia, so it's still so somewhere in the middle. So some Rishonim say that the idea of making Abdullah to Tuesday night is not the shlumin dikadin. That's the zman of Abdullah. You can say Abdullah, it's reasonable to do mitzvahs. Why should you wait till Tuesday? If you wait till Tuesday, you can't make Rishonim, you can make Bar Me'esh. Those are technical reasons. Those brachas only links specifically to Motzei Shabbos. But in theory, you can make Abdullah on Tuesday. It's the same Abdullah as making Motzei Shabbos. So my nafkamina lomdus, zokhtazor, who cares whether it's with the shlumin or that's nigra zman. That's what the Rishayim explained is the Rosh quotes with the Rebbe Brachas. What would the din be if the person was potter from Havdalah Mitzvah Shabbos? So if you hold that making Havdalah till Tuesday is Betaras Tashlumin, so then there's only Tashlumin for someone who is Chayev. If I wasn't Chayev, then there's no Tashlumin. But if you hold that the Iker's Man is until Tuesday, it's not Betaras Tashlumin. So just because the guy was potter for part of it, so then you pick up the next half of it. Let's say like we gave the example of the Einin. If a guy is in Onan until 8 o'clock in the morning, and then he becomes Chayiv and Tefillah at 8 o'clock, say, Dham Shacharis, you don't say he was potter from part of Shacharis, he's potter from the whole Shacharis. So too over here, just because he was potter on Sunday, doesn't mean he's potter on Monday. So that's a big machlekes of Rishonim. So the Shulchan Aruch is machriya in your day, and Uchas Avelos, that the person does in fact recite the Havdalah on Sunday. That we paskin that the ikimik redin, that the Havdalah on Sunday is not really b'taras tashlumin. It's for this reason that we also have the practice that when the Tishba falls out, either when it falls out on Shabbos, or when it's nidchet to Sunday. So either way, one obviously does not recite Havdalah on Leil Tishba B'Tzav. You're not allowed to drink the wine, so obviously you're not going to recite Havdalah. So there's machlekes and rishonim, should you recite Havdalah Mitzvah Tishba? So some Rishonim say no, there's no Havdalah Mitzvah Tishba. Why is that? Because the Iket Takana was in Mitzvah Shabbos. If you're potter from Havdalah, I can't make Havdalah because I would not misaken Havdalah obviously on Tisha B'Av. So I said, I can't make Havdalah. I'm potter, I'm potter, I'm potter. I'm potter is not Tashlum. Another Rishonim say no. Just because I'm potter Mitzvah Shabbos, but since the Chiyuv continues in full force on Sunday, so the minute that Tisha B'Av is over, now I'm able to drink. So then I become Mechuyuv once again in Havdalah. So in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, we're knowing that way as well. So we pask in the same in Hilchas Avelus as in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, that even though Motzei Shabbos, the person was either Einin or Motzei Shabbos, it was already Tisha B'Av, it doesn't matter that on Sunday night the person would still recite Havdalah. This idea that if a person is potter from Tefillah, he does not have to have Tashlumin, should not be making Tashlumin. So how exactly do you define whether a person is potter from Tefillah? So we mentioned the classic example is the person was an Einin. So now the post can discuss a little bit of a different case. That's based on the fourth of the Maamar Kamos. A comment to the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillah and Siman Tzadik Gimel. Shulchan Aruch writes, "Eisik b'tzarchei tzibuk, eisik b'tayr dami." We have a cloud. Rishonim coined the phrase "Eisik b'tzarchei tzibur" is as if the person is learning Torah. Of course, what do those words mean? So perish. L'inyan lama mitaych l'spalo shegamzu simcha hilo she'oz b'tzarchei tzibur. So some Rishonim say that phrase "Eisik b'tzarchei tzibur" is ketama Torah. It means like this. There's a din that appears in the fifth parak of Maseches Brachos that a person is not just I'm supposed to jump into davening, run into shul, start davening for Esther right away. You're supposed to get yourself a little bit into the proper mood. The Gemara says that you should have a little bit of light learning beforehand. The guy's going to sit and say, oh, it's a whole complicated shia for an hour and a half, and then go right into davening. So maybe that's not the best idea. I mean, I said, we do that in shiva all the time, but whatever. But the Gemara says that really the more appropriate thing is to have a little halacha psuka. See, a quick halacha, something that's very, very simple, that focus on, gets you in a good mood, and then sure, and you go right into tefillah. That's what the Rishonim say. That's the reason why we say Ashrei before Mincha. That's part of the reason why we say Pesukah Dezimra before davening. We say things to get ourselves into the spirit of things before. We don't want to just jump right into Shemana Esrei. So some Rishonim say that if a person is Isaac with Tzarchei Tzibur, that could count as going from learning into right into a davening. So the post came quick to point out, it depends on the kind of Tzarchei Tzibur that it is. So if it's a Tzarchei Tzibur, that's a very, very agitating Tzarchei Tzibur. It's a very distressing Tzarchei Tzibur. So that's probably not such a good idea to lead that into davening. So you're going to accomplish the opposite goal. You're going to be so tarur when you're davening. It means a Tzarchei Tzibur, that's a good Tzarchei Tzibur, a happy Tzarchei Tzibur. You're accomplishing something. You just built a shul, just built the yeshiva, just built the mikveh. It's something really, really exciting. And there's a tremendous sense of satisfaction. So that's a great segue right into Hilchas Tefillah. That's the first interpretation of the phrase Eisik b'tzarchei tzibur k'eisik b'tayr. V'yesh b'farshim, there are others who say no. T'haydu l'inyan de'eino tzach livsof l'spalel. There are others who say that Eisik b'tzarchei tzibur k'eisik b'tayr means that if you're in the middle of being Eisik b'tzarchei tzibur, so then you don't have to stop the daven. That means Eisik b'tzarchei mitzvah. So if you're in the middle of a very, very important meeting for the shul, so then technically you're not mechuyav to stop the meeting in order to go daven. So the Mishnah Berurah says within this interpretation, the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, Mishnah Berurah says, what would it then be according to this interpretation that a person does not stop his tzarchei tzibur in order to go daven? So he missed tefillah. Bottom line is he missed tefillah. Let's say there was a big, big, important shul board meeting and then came down to daven mincha and the board says, oh, we have to finish the meeting first and there's no time to daven, so we missed tefillah. So now, 2 hours later, comes up Davin Meir, what do you do? So it says the Mishnah Berurah, "V'yetzal l'spal mincha shtayim b'shul tashlumei shacharis." Even though the person, let's say, missed shacharis, there was no need to daven mincha twice. And one should not daven mincha twice. Why? Shekevi shebishas chavos ha'yepotvim mena min adin ein tzoch l'tashlumin klal. That since the person was potter from davening, because Oisik bitza potvim in a mitzvah, So you wouldn't say that there's a principle of tashlumin under those circumstances. So this is a throwback to everything we've been talking until now. So this idea that there's no tashlumin for someone who's actually potter, this is a real dimin haTorah. The application of this dimin haTorah, the original sugya was in Parshas Balosot of Pesach Sheni. Now again, as we pointed out, not everyone agreed Pesach Sheni was a tashlumin. So according to Rebbe, Pesach Sheni is not a good model for our discussion, but according to the view of Rebbe Nosson, the Pesach Sheni is a good model. It is a tashlumin. So the Gemara is saying explicitly that whenever you put the mikra din from something, there's no tashlumin. So that idea was carried over in Uchas Aninus by the Shulchan Aruch. And then it was again debated vis-a-vis Havdalah. Some Rishonim wanted to plug it into Havdalah and for the Sunday night Havdalah, not to make Havdalah because you were potter. So we don't accept that, not because we disagree with the Yisod that there's no Tashlumin when there's no Chiyah. The reason why we don't accept that is because we hold that Havdalah is not Petaras Tashlumin. Havdalah on Sunday night is just an extension of the regular Chiyah of Havdalah. So the Ikaron is still there, even though the application of Abdullah is probably not accepted in Halacha. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes one step further, and Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch go one step further and discuss a question of somebody who is not the potter because he's an Oinei, Rechman Latzlan. He's potter because he's simply being Oisei B'tzachit Tzibur, which is a very, very justified activity, even at the expense of a Chos Tefillah. So Mishnah Berurah is willing to go out on a limb for that also and say, the person who's Isaac B'tzachet Tzibah, who's covered by the din of Isaac B'tzapot B'mitzvah, that in Ochinami, such a person would not be subject to the rules of Tashlumin for Tefillah as well. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay. Good job, everybody.
Shkoyach Rabbi, thank you.